Please don't feed me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me, that's all part of your soul. It makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
Oh, I actually didn't know I did. But did you burn your hand?
I sort of did. I think when I was... Because I'm impatient when I'm doing stuff, and I was making something and I didn't make it look cool. Oh.
But welcome to another Tim Pod podcast. And I wanted to podcast because Mar went and seen Suicide Squad the other night. I haven't seen it yet, but spoilers don't really bother me. But there will be spoilers in it, so...
Yeah, warning. Either go see it or get the fuck out.
I need to remember to start putting it in the notes thing. Spoilers. But, like, almost every podcast I listen to, like, it's basically, like, if you know it's going to be about something, then fucking don't listen to it. Because it's kind of hard to talk about something and never mention
the spoiler. That's the thing about the internet is, like, I don't think you should purposely seek out, like, don't complain about spoilers if you go to read a review of the movie or something. Because, like, you're going to get spoiled, at least on something. What bothers me more is when brands for things spoil stuff in, like, their social media accounts. Like, The Walking Dead.
Or the very preview of the next episode.
Yeah, The Walking Dead is terrible about that. Like, they'll start talking about something on their Facebook feed. And you could just do that as, like, what did you think of tonight's episode? Leave it in the comments. And then people can ignore the comments. But they'll have, like, a photo of, you know, a character that died being carried out of a place by a grieving person and stuff, and it's like, oh, well, I didn't get to watch the episode yet, so.
Though my favorite thing, and I think I've mentioned this before on my website and stuff like that, is that Doctor Who, like, they've always had these, like, surprise things with the Daleks and the Cybermen in the episode where, like, halfway through the first part or whatever, and then it's, like, revealed it's the Daleks. But almost every freaking Dalek or Cyberman episode has the word Dalek or Cyberman in the title. So what's the point of trying to act like it's a surprise?
So, like, I don't get butthurt if, like, people are talking about something and I stumble upon
it. It doesn't bother me either. Like,
I get mad at the brand when they spoil stuff
I'm probably going to watch the movie. I don't know if I'll go see it at the theater because you already seen it or not.
It was all right.
But,
it was all right at the
theater.
But
you want to, like, talk about it in depth?
Yeah, so I guess full disclosure, I went with someone else to see it in IMAX 3D because we got tickets through T-Mobile Tuesday, where they give away free stuff, so we got tickets to go see it, and we went to IMAX 3D. That being said, I will start off by saying that there was not really anything in that film that lent itself to IMAX 3D, let me just say that.
It's like half the movies in 3D period don't have a 3D moment in them.
But y'all, Doctor Strange, they had a preview for that. That shit's gonna be good in IMAX 3D, y'all. Because it's all, like, Inception with the buildings folding in. Yeah.
You've been around me too much. Y'all.
Y'all.
But yeah, that does look good. That movie does.
Yeah, that's gonna be phenomenal. I don't know if Rogue One's gonna be in IMAX 3D, but I saw...
Are you sure Doctor Strange is gonna be in IMAX 3D?
That was the trailer. It was in IMAX 3D. They were showing films that are gonna be in IMAX 3D.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And it was random shit, too. Like, the Deepwater Horizon, which, that movie looks like propaganda. I'm sorry. Like, that's for another podcast.
Well, it's got a Walmart douchebag in it.
Ugh. But yeah, Doctor Strange looks phenomenal. The film's gonna be problematic, you know.
With the casting and
stuff. Yeah, I'm troubled by that. I hope for a day that we, like, move beyond stuff like this, you know, like, where they actually start. There was a trailer also for that The Wall movie with Matt Damon inexplicably, like,
even
being
worse
white savior to the Great Wall of China people. Like,
I think that...
Like it's a story about them defending, like, oh, they built it, but what were they keeping out? And it's, like, white savior to people of China. And
with
it's
the Doctor Strange casting of, like, the ancient one, I do think in a way they thought, like, oh, we're going to be progressive and we're going to cast a woman in the role. Not thinking that it should have been an Asian woman if you were going to do that.
So,
and like, I love, what's her name, it was cast in it. And at first I thought, oh, that's really cool. And then I was like, no, well, not really. It's not really that cool to cast her in that. And by the way, if you don't know this, weird fact about Doctor Strange, the very first appearance of him, the artist made him look Asian. And from the very next issue after that, from then on, he looks really white. But that very first issue, he doesn't. Like, he doesn't. And the really old Doctor Strange books are really trippy, too. Like, Steve Ditko's artwork is so really cool and trippy, you know? So, you should check those out. They're really cool.
Yeah. It's just, it brings about an interesting, you know, it's hard to completely enjoy a property when you see this stuff going on.
Well, I watch a lot of old stuff. It's not that you can't enjoy it. It's that you should always mention, like, I think, like, okay, I watch a lot of really old movies and TV shows and stuff like that, and there's really racist stuff in some of them. Even, like, stuff that's considered pretty progressive in its way, like MASH.
Yeah, like, MASH has a lot of really progressive stuff in it, but they still also, like...
cast anybody who looked Asian as Korean in it.
Yeah, and even, like, the... frankly, some of them are, like, white savior complex people.
Yeah.
Like, they mock the Koreans and stuff, like...
But, like, even stuff
so
like that...
So nothing's perfect.
It doesn't mean you can't, like, everything has to be, like, erased out of history for that, because they can be constant lessons we can learn from it, but people...
And it's important to have that stuff in the historical context, too, because
and
you don't want to whitewash history and say, like,
and it's important to call stuff out.
Fine,
and just because you call it out, it doesn't make you a bad person for, like, still wanting to watch it or enjoying it. But we need people to always say, like, wait a second, this isn't a great thing you did here. Next time, do better.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to have that.
So, like, I'm looking forward to Doctor Strange, but, like, that is in my mind, too, is that it's a problem. And that...
I hope they make him a douchebag, though, because he is in the beginning of that. He's really not a good person, so I hope they do that
with
his character.
I wonder if they will. Which brings back to Suicide Squad, which there are parts in it that I found really problematic. I know a lot of people really didn't like Harley's costume in it. I didn't really mind her costume that much because I think some people swing the pendulum too far and they say, like, a woman can't dress in a sexy way and be confident. It's, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's why it is
basically.
For women and minorities, like,
but
either way.
My problem was that the film tries to have Harley show that she's doing it for herself. There's even a point where she says to a guard in the Supermax prison that she's in, you know, I sleep when I want, where I want, with who I want. So, like, that's really driven home. But the camera angles, there's a whole lot of fucking fan service in that movie. Those hot pants were not for Harley. They were for the boys coming to see the movie.
Do you want to know the most fan service?
There were a lot of fan service shots.
The most fan service I ever seen in my life on anything. Remember when I showed you Undead High School?
High School of the Dead.
Yeah, High School of the Dead.
Yeah.
That show, which, by the way, it's actually a good show, and it's a good zombie show, and I don't like zombie
stuff.
Lots
of fan service, though.
There is so much fan service.
But
to the point that I think it's actually a joke in it.
Well, I think that the author of that manga, like, all that author had written before was, like, pornography?
I don't know. That's close, though.
Something
in that,
like pornographic manga?
It gets close to sometimes.
I read something. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think I read that online. I might be wrong.
I think the first time I watched that show, I was like, this reads like when I used to watch shows late at night on USA Network when it first started, and it would be edited pornographic stuff. So it really is like an hour-long movie that was edited down to like 20 minutes, because Gilbert Gottfried hosted it, if anybody's my age and remembers that. But
I do not.
But that show, that anime show, reminds me of that, because it's like there's moments where you think, like, there's going to be sex now, and like, they don't get to it.
Yeah.
So it makes me think like they actually wrote scenes of it. There were sexual scenes, and they just didn't go there with them or something like that.
They might have. But they definitely did that with Harley in the movie. There are action sequences where she kicks a lot of ass. Like, Margot Robbie was fantastic.
Is she basically the lead?
Basically, she and Will Smith carry the movie. A lot of the characters in the Suicide Squad are not fleshed out very well. In fact, one of the characters is introduced very quickly when the squad is assembled, only to be killed off, like, 2 seconds later.
And that's a guy from Law and Order.
Adam Beach, who is, like, he's a pretty well-known actor. He's one of the few Native American actors that they actually cast in stuff, too. And it was just very troubling to me that he was cannon fodder. Also, the Katana, when she's introduced, she is not fleshed out at all. And it makes me wonder about, you know, DC's continued treatment of minority.
I love Katana. I just know they basically towed, like, Warner Brothers basically towed the TV show that I think that they couldn't use Suicide Squad anymore on it, which is a shame. The Katana on that show was actually pretty good, too, because that's a good design of a character, too, and the basics of it is really good.
I know the actress that played her in the movie said that she would really like to explore more with her, so I'm really hopeful that they give them more time to work on the second one, because clearly there's going to be a second one, because it made gobs of money this weekend.
Maybe they'll do Batman and the Outsiders. Have you ever heard of that book?
No, I have not.
At one time, Batman set up a team called the Outsiders, and it had different kind of fringe characters, and Katana was one. Metamorph was one. He was a guy with, he's got all his colors over him and he can change into different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it had Geoforce and some other people, and they were basically his team that he used of superheroes for stuff. But
I would really like to see more, because I was super excited to go see Suicide Squad, because I really like kind of more like the darker, more adult kind of.
But
stories.
Did you say it wasn't really that hard of an R? It wasn't R.
It was not R. It was PG-13.
But it wasn't even close to R, was it?
I didn't feel like it was. You're promised in the trailers, like, first of all, ballroom blitz, like, high, frantic energy kind of stuff. And you get that at the beginning when they're kind of going through the top secret file when Waller's trying to put her squad together and everything. And they introduce each of the members. First of all, they don't introduce everybody. Like, they wait until later to introduce Slipknot and Katana. And they don't really give them a good, like, backstory. Like, you find out Katana stuff later through Rick Flagg, but that's another part. But really, the only two that are actually fleshed out are Deadshot and Harley Quinn. Killer Croc, Diablo, and Captain Boomerang, who was super fucking annoying. Like, I'm just gonna say it. He wasn't funny. He was annoying.
He's
and
annoying.
Useless.
He's annoying in the books, too.
He was so useless. Like, they had an excessive number of people for it. And in the end, it doesn't actually make sense as to why Waller pulled them together, because the villain was a little, like, it gets to the end and it's like, womp, womp. But it starts off with this high, frantic energy when they're introducing all these folks, and then it just kind of, like, fizzles out.
Well, that's the best parts of a lot of the, like, Dirty Dozen type movies. The beginnings usually are the best. Like, the original Dirty Dozen, and even, like, Inglourious Basterds. Well, not the very beginning of that movie, because we always skip the part at the farmhouse. But, like,
sorry.
Like the start of that movie is the best parts of it, and, like,
yeah, like, that
a lot of those
really
type movies
fun, are good. Where you're, like, highlighting people. There is a really big Easter egg. That was kind of the fun part of the movie, is there were a lot of Easter eggs, and there's clear setup and introducing people that they intend to use later. I that's what I think. I really think the Joker, because he's only in it for, like, a couple of scenes. For all the big hoopla that they did with him, he was a little disappointing, frankly.
Who do they set up?
I think that they're setting up for him to probably return in the Batman movie. I really think, like, they were just, like, introducing it to him. There's clearly more that's been going on in Gotham than we saw in Batman Superman. Because Harley and the Joker are already, like, the king and queen of Gotham and stuff.
I've heard some people say he works as the Joker if you just think of him outside of the Joker character and just as a crime boss.
Yeah, like,
he works, if you think of him that
way. He's not, like, the Joker. He's, like, generic
crime boss.
And that's like, a failing of the movie overall is that, like, they're really trying to highlight these exceptionally bad guys and, like, this exceptional scenario. And then when they get to the second part of the movie where they're actually out on their first mission, it turns into generic action movie. Literally, the hordes of literally faceless soldiers that they have to, like, fight to get to the big boss at the end of it, they're literally faceless. I saw somebody characterize them as looking like blackberries. They really did. Like, they just had, like, bubbly black faces. Literally faceless. And I also had the problem with, I've not really liked in the DC ones how they've had a darker color palette to the filming of it. It just looks so drab to me. And I felt like
the overall color palette, even with the costumes and stuff.
Yeah, like, they've gone really drab with stuff. And I felt like I was promised with Suicide Squad this, like, bright, like, in-your-face, frantic kind of stuff. And their whole fighting takes place at night, and you can't see anything. And it ran into the same problem I had. I hated the new Godzilla movie because you can't even fucking see Godzilla because it's so dark.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I was watching a black screen when I was watching it. And I felt like Suicide Squad ran into that problem. It became like, a generic action movie at the end. And then the villain was, like, really disappointing. So...
Enchantress.
Yeah. And it just... in the end, it didn't even make sense, really, that, like, Waller assembled the Suicide Squad. because she sends military folks in, too, and...
Well, the point,
like,
of the
way the villain's defeated is, really, like... basic.
The point of Suicide Squad in one way is they're supposed to be, like, cannon fodder. You don't really give
they're expendable.
A crap. And by the way, they really was those type things during World War II. They actually did, like, the Dirty Dozen and pulled prisoners, they were military prisoners, out of the cells and said, like, basically, we're going to send you over here where you can rot in a cell. But, like, I think Suicide Squad works if and you got to explain this, is the fact that the military wants to have superhumans that they can control. It's just because they don't want, like...
They don't want
the Justice League. Because every superhero is basically a vigilante.
Well, and that's basically what Waller was saying, is that, like, they got lucky that Superman shared their ideas and was on their side. But the next one, they might not be so lucky. So she wanted to have metahumans to fight another threat. But they didn't even really... fight another big threat.
And you could say it's about anything DC, but if you want to see it done really well, the government versus superheroes done really well, check out the Bruce Tim and God, I forgot his name. The guy that created Harley Quinn.
Paul Dini
DC Universe. They did that really well. Even though the Suicide Squad's called its original name, which is Task Force X. In the TV show, because they couldn't use the word suicide on the TV show, but they do that very well. There's some Waller Batman scenes in that animated show that's really great. But that animated universe is the best superhero stuff you'll ever see in film.
Yeah, I feel like DC really hit it well with their animated universe, the TV shows, and the direct to DVD movies. Which we still haven't seen The Killing Joke yet, so we gotta get
I don't really care to see it. What I've heard,
I feel like we just watch everything.
I always thought that book was just, like, meh to begin with. The artwork's really good, but the story doesn't fit the Joker, I don't think. And the story's really not that good. What happens to Batgirl in it. Like, the Joker's out of character, and the story's not that great, I don't think.
And now I'm hearing...
Though, like, I hate the fact that Alan Moore's like, oh, I didn't like it. Fuck you, Alan Moore. You know, like, you're all Mr. Happy Hindsight about stuff to get people liking you. Alan Moore's not God, by the way. He's a fucking whiny bitch with a big beard. That's what he is.
I feel like we trash talk a lot of people.
but that's a rant for another time about Alan Moore.
I feel like we'll end up watching it, but yeah, I'm not super excited about that. The only thing I'm really excited about that is that it brings back Mark Hamill as the Joker. And
basically does everything with the Joker.
He's the superior, like, Joker.
But, we actually seen the video on sale at Walmart. Was the recent, Batman Escape from... Is it Escape from Arkham?
That was Attack on Arkham.
Attack on Arkham, which basically is a Suicide Squad
That one was really good.
That was actually pretty good. Really good. I actually liked, like, I know a lot of people didn't, but I actually liked that.
I feel like I enjoyed watching the Suicide Squad movie. It was not technically a good film, though. Like, the filmmaking was just, it was not professional.
It's another thing where they hire a really good director to work on something, and it just seems like, if you're going to hire a great director like they did with Green Hornet, if you're going to hire a guy and he has such a good vision for movies, and then
they just made a basic movie.
Yeah, and just make a basic movie, then what was the point of hiring that guy to begin with?
They made a generic as heck movie with that. I felt like it was not the frenzy thing we were promised.
But I think all those promises came after Deadpool come out.
Yeah, I really feel like they tried to rebrand it. Because it's more of a serious, sad movie in a lot of ways. And it becomes generic action, too.
I think when Deadpool came out, like, before they were just making... From what I've read, actually, they was wanting to do this project. And when, like, Will Smith got on board, so they were like, oh, we're going to do this big project. And then when all the stuff happened to get excited about other stuff, they try to, like, build it up. And then when Deadpool hit big time, they'd already finished filming most of this, and then they tried to push it as a Deadpool-ish thing.
I think the trailers really tried to hit on Deadpool's comedy, because they inserted a lot of jokes into the trailers, which, by the way, are not in the film. There's a lot of stuff in the trailers that was not in the movie. It was cut out. There's a lot of stuff between Harley and the Joker, too, that is reimagined in the cuts in the movie to make it more romantic. And in the trailers, it doesn't look so romantic. And, you know, their relationship is very toxic. But in the movie, they try to make it far more romantic than it really was. They cut a lot of scenes. And then also, I feel like they tried to really amp up the music to make, like, to appeal to the Guardians of the Galaxy fans. Because the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, the soundtrack complements the scenes very well, and then each of the songs leads into the next song very well.
Deadpool does it too.
Does that very well too. Suicide Squad has great music on its soundtrack, but not all of the songs really key up to the scene that they're in, and the songs do not play well off of each other. It sounds like when you turn on our Pandora and it jumps from, like, Eminem to Queen to, like,
bluegrass.
Like, to gangsta grass and stuff. Like, it was chaotic and not in a fun way in that respect. Like, when the squad's coming together and they're getting all their stuff back and, like, getting back into their personas, like, it plays Eminem. And, like, it really works. Which really Eminem? Well. It's Without Me, I think is the name of the song. And it's, like, two trailer park girls going around.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I thought it was funny. I laughed when that came on. And when you're seeing Supermax for the first time, is that the name of the prison or am I getting it wrong? I feel like I'm not getting that
That's
right.
One of them.
Isn't that The Flash? No, that's Iron Heights.
Iron Heights, I think, is The Flash. Blackgate's one of them, but I don't know which one. I don't know if it's Marvel or DC. I don't know. Supermax is one of them.
Well, they're in an off.
I think it is Supermax because they were at one time going to do that Green Lantern movie I told you about. And it was basically going to be him trapped in there with the bad guys, and then it was about him escaping.
Yeah, I would watch that. Or the Training Day version.
I even thought the Jack Black version that everybody hated for years, which I've read that script online, wasn't that bad. Because it was going to be Jack Black gets the Green Lantern ring. It's for when Warner Brothers...
I've never even heard
that
before.
Like, it's when Warner Brothers weren't paying attention to anything with DC and was shopping their properties out. Like, they had that Supermax movie they talked about making, the Jack Black Green Lantern one, which was basically he finds the ring and stuff like that. Yeah. And, they were, like... until Marvel started hitting really big, especially when Disney bought Marvel, then Warner Brothers was like, hey, by the way, we own all this.
Yeah, they're just playing catch-up right now, and I feel like they're not doing a great job.
And it looks like they're playing catch-up.
It really does.
You're not invested in any characters
in it
at
all. No, that was the thing
of
it, too, is that... back to the musical cues. When they're showing the prison for the first time, it plays that, like, House of the Rising Sun song. Which, like, that worked pretty well.
I love that song.
Like, it you know, that's just, like, kind of a dark song. But the musical cues were just kind of off. So it went for frenzied and fun chaotic, but it just came off as, like, noisily chaotic at times.
And probably just had just a generic big battle at the end, basically.
Yeah, it just turned into a big generic thing. So I feel like I was going to make another point and I forgot. But overall, I enjoyed the movie a lot. It was fun. There's tons of Easter eggs. There's a cameo in it that everyone's buzzing about. It's probably not the cameo that people thought they were going to get, but it was a good one.
You tell me. Who was it? You can tell me. It's a spoiler thing.
Okay, it's the Flash. Like, he's in it. He's the one that...
That's actually not that big of a spoiler because it's all over the news. Because they found the cast list or something like that, and all the news sites, everybody started posting the Flash is going to be in Suicide Squad.
He's in it for like a second.
Is he in costume?
Yeah. And then the Easter egg about it goes back to Batman Superman with the Robin with Robin's costume being spray painted and everything.
That statue, ain't it? It's a statue.
Was it a statue?
I think it's. I thought it was a costume. I think it's a statue of him, like a memorial in the Batcave or something.
But everyone was kind of wondering if Robin was dead, and, you get an answer to that, too, and it's maybe not the answer people were thinking they were gonna get.
Do you guys tell you which Robin's dead?
It's a blink and you miss it kind of Easter egg. Is it Jason Todd? I think it's supposed to be. I don't think that they said that, though. I think that it was revealed outside of the movie. And then there's a mid-credit scene that's really good, between Waller and another character. But overall, I enjoyed it. If they had taken more time with it, I think it could have been a great movie.
Well, I think they just rushed this movie. They rushed it. And then they found out, like, oh, maybe we should have made it more along the Deadpool lines, but we already made it, so we can't do that. But
By the way, Deadpool's not, like, a technically, great film, you know?
But it's really enjoyable.
But it's enjoyable as fuck.
Like I said the other day, if they do a Harley Quinn movie, they can make it like that because the current comic.
I would love that.
Her current comic is more along the lines of Deadpool. The fact, like, she talks to what is it? Like a stuffed.
Like a porcupine or something.
A beaver because there's a lot of beaver jokes in it.
Yeah, so. I feel like that's right.
Yeah. But, like, the Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palamonte book.
There are points in the film where they're trying to make her seem more like she chose this life with the Joker. Like, she chooses to go into the vat of chemicals. He doesn't push her. And they do recut some things. Like, in the trailer, they look like it's a little more toxic between the two of them. But there's a part where he pushes her out of a helicopter to save her life. And, like, all this stuff. And it's very much he's trying to get her back and stuff in the movie. Like, that's his role in the movie.
I love how everybody, like, rewrites the fact that, like, their relationship has never been...
It's not healthy at all. It's never been healthy.
It's a very bad relationship with two people with mental problems and, like, are very, like...
Codependent.
Yeah, they are codependent. In the comics, they've actually moved past her needing him.
Yeah, and I like that, too. And she's actually, you know, like, she doesn't want to go back to him and be the way she was with him.
Is her stuff with him flashback stuff or just when she escapes or something?
Some of it. And I thought Margot Robbie, there's one particular scene that I thought she was very subtle in it because she has a flashback and when she comes out of it and she's talking to Deadshot, she's actually back as Harleen Quinzel.
Yeah.
And not Harley Quinn. And she's there for a second and I thought Margot Robbie pulled it off really well because she kind of didn't seem happy about the flashback. Like, she seemed very sad.
Yeah. I like the fact in the books with her, it's basically, because for years people were like, how did this Joker keep escaping? And then it's basically revealed that she was the reason. She kept helping him escape is how he kept escaping.
I like Harley a lot as a character. I think she's very dynamic as a character. And, you know, obviously it's problematic, that... I don't think that they're really, flaunting, a domestic violence relationship or anything like that. I think that it explores that there's complications in relationships and why people stay. Because you have a lot of really strong, smart people that stay with abusers.
I think it's more interesting.
It's not their fault.
I don't think it's ever showed that much in any of the media that the Joker's physically abusive to her. What I've always found interesting is that they've shown a relationship where he's mentally abusive and uses her so much and stuff. Because there's many times, I think even in Batman the Animated Series, where he basically leaves her, to die or whatever and stuff like that. And it shows, and then she goes back to him at times and stuff like that. In the Batman the Animated Series universe, basically she separates him when she finds friends. Like when she starts to get a friendship with Ivory. And
Poison
stuff
Ivy.
Like, yeah, Poison Ivy and stuff like that.
Ivy.
Ivy, whatever. But, so she starts to move away from that in time. Which, another thing about that DC animated universe is most comic book characters, the bad guys actually have mental disorders or mental problems. So it's always been this kind of, it's never been handled great in the past with that being
handled. Well, there's definitely a romanticizing of mental illness, too, that plays into a lot of different media.
But, like, that universe, actually, there's several times where it deals it with really great. Like, Batman, at times, like, he goes out of his way not to hurt some of the villains, in a way, because he understands they got issues. And there's a really
good... They're responsible, but there's mitigating circumstances.
Yeah, and there's a really good Justice League episode with The Flash, where Orion, one of the new gods with, like, Apocalypse and him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Orion, they go to Flash's hometown, and he thinks The Flash is a joke and stuff, because he jokes a lot and all this other stuff, and Batman's, like, trying to tell him he's not. And one of the things Orion sees Flash do is with the Trickster. The Flash talks to the Trickster and says, like, well, you're off your meds, aren't you? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, you know you need to be on your meds and stuff. And it's a really, really great scene that handles that the comics really don't even approach most of the time, because I think they're afraid of, like, approaching it would be opening up almost a can of worms that all these villains, at least most of them, are people with mental issues and stuff like that. But I think that series, actually, with Batman the way he is, which is a great portrayal of Batman, that he's dark, but he's not too dark. He laughs and has fun and stuff like that, too.
But that
universe, go buy it. If you love comics, you got all
that. I think that DC just does really, like, a lot better with their animated ones. But yeah. I thought Margot Robbie did a great job with portraying Harley Quinn as a complicated character. Because too often with media, we're like, well, a woman has to be this, like, strong, like, the strong female character type where it's,
Can't show weakness.
You can't show any sort of weakness or anything like that. And, you know, we need more complicated and varied female characters.
I hope she, like, there's rumors right before this came out when it was getting a lot of good buzz. You know, before everybody's like, oh, I told you it was bad or something like that. Which, like, by the way, this movie's blowing, like, opening weekends out.
Yeah, like,
really
it's making good. A buttload of money, so.
But, that there was going to be a Harley Quinn movie. And I hope they actually do.
I hope that they do one and maybe introduce, like, some of the other characters, too. Like, they said maybe Birds of Prey or something.
Birds of Prey would be great, but they better get Gail Simone to work on it.
Yeah.
They need her to work on it.
I mean, they didn't really, in the movie, they didn't flesh out a lot of the other people, a lot of the other characters' backstories. So, really, it became, like, Deadshot and Harley Quinn were the only ones that were, like, really fleshed out. And Deadshot's story is fairly boring. It's just Will Smith carries it.
Well, he was kind of a generic character anyways, until Gail Simone wrote him in The Secret Six. Which I think, by the way, those books written by Gail Simone are great. They should adapt that series. Because, by the way, all the Suicide Squad stuff that they wish they'd done, do a Secret Six, and you can do that. You can throw in Bane, and you can throw in all these people, because that series
I think that's overall the problem with the Suicide Squad movie was that
They wanted to
do so much with it, and then they ended up just making a generic movie.
Well, I think that they started out making a generic movie, and then they were like, oh, we should have did this. And it's like, happy hindsight. It's like, no, you should have did that to begin with. It's too late to do that now.
Yeah, they wanted this, like, big, frenzied, fun and chaotic kind of movie that stood out. And in the end, it just ended up being another.
It would have been like if they did Deadpool as a generic movie, and then towards the end being like, oh no, we need to like add comedy and make it crazy. It's like, no, it's too late to do that now.
It has to
it's
be
like,
throughout it.
Yeah, it has to have that tone throughout the movie and stuff.
So like I enjoyed it, and hopefully like the second one they maybe like crack down and they take more time with it.
I don't know if they'll make a second one though.
I think they will because it made a ton of money.
Yeah, well, it's made a lot of money so far. Let's see if it goes past that. Because what a lot of people don't remember is the Hulk movie made a lot in its opening weekend, too. Stuff. But, like, also, I don't think Warner Brothers is, like...
I don't feel like they have confidence in their movies.
I don't think they're as forgiving in these movies not making a huge amount of money. Because, like, contrary to popular belief, all the Marvel movies didn't make huge amounts of money. Like, the first Thor movie didn't make huge amounts. I think the first Captain America didn't make huge
money. They were in the, like, 50 and 60 million dollar range, I think.
Basically, the Iron Man movies, Avengers, Winter Soldier, and, like, from then on, I think all of them were making money. Thor 2, I don't think made a huge amount of money, but it made good. But, like, I think Warner Bros., it's like remember before Superman came out, like, Man of Steel, and there was this, like, all these talk about Warner Brothers basically saying, like, if this didn't make money, we weren't going to make any more superhero movies. And it was like,
I just think from the very beginning, they didn't have confidence in it. That was the thing. I think we were circling back to this earlier, and I had forgotten. Marvel set out with a very ambitious plan to build up these phases of movies, introducing people one by one and getting you invested in them. DC, they didn't seem to have confidence in their – well, they didn't even really have a plan – but they just didn't really seem to have confidence in the movies that they were making.
And now their plan is, we ain't going to do it like Marvel, so we're just going to skip ahead and think people are going to like it anyway.
Yeah, we're going to have ensemble films and not have you invested in anybody.
If you didn't introduce the Iron Man movie like so quickly, like if you skipped ahead and introduced Iron Man, people wouldn't have liked it because people really didn't know about that character that much.
Yeah.
So I think, like, the thing about Marvel movies is now is, like, people went to see Ant-Man based off it being a Marvel movie, and it turned out to be a pretty good movie. And it's the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
They went to see it. It's a Marvel movie. So Marvel's built up this goodwill towards their movies that people are excited about seeing them. DC movies, it's basically like the very beginning of the first couple of Marvel movies. It's basically like the audience is saying, give me something good, and DC so frantically throwing shit at them. And it's like, well, take your time. Make a good movie. Like, the first Iron Man movie, it's not a spectacular, huge, you know what I mean? He's not lifting mountains or anything like that. He's just, it's this movie about
this
guy.
It's also a basic film.
Yeah,
but,
it's an issue
but
movie.
But they cast it perfectly.
And
so.
He just has this, like, very short big battle at the end of it. It really doesn't last long at all. Most of that movie is just Robert Downey Jr. carrying it, the movie and stuff like that. And, like, that's what they need to do. DC, but it's too late now because they didn't want to do Marvel way, and they've skipped ahead. And it's like, I think I remember this on the Geek Syndicate, like, listening to the Geek Syndicate episode the other day, which had Stacy from Stacy's Pop Culture Parlor, but they mentioned the fact that, like, in Man of Steel and stuff, it seemed like nobody mentioned any superheroes or supervillains or, like, Batman. Like, all of a sudden, Superman... Like, in Superman versus Batman, he's all of a sudden after Batman. When Batman pops up again, it's like, you didn't...
You're left
this character is basically stated, he was around for years before.
Yeah, you're left to assume that Batman has another story. And that's kind of what happens in Suicide Squad, too, is, like, you get a glimpse of the fact that, like, basically, Waller sets up quite a few people to get arrested by Batman, and then they end up in the Supermax prison. So Batman pops up a couple of times, but you see the flashbacks with Harley and the Joker, and in Harley's, like, introduction portion in the beginning of it, that apparently this stuff's been going on for a while in Gotham, where, they're actually referred to as the King and Queen of Gotham, and you find out that Harley killed Robin and, like, all this
but
stuff.
But even, like,
and,
all these other stuff, like, Boomerang, which is a Flash villain... And
he's,
like,
been robbing banks in Australia, and now he's in America.
Yeah, and, like, all these other characters that are all of a sudden just popping up. When, in Man of Steel, I think they painted a picture that kind of, I don't know if they come out and said it, but it's kind of like Superman was the first, like, meta-human type character. When they skip to, like, Batman versus Superman, it seems like, well, Batman's been around for a long time, and they kind of hinted at he's had villains for a long time.
Their timeline is weird. Their timeline's weird.
And then, like, in the Suicide Squad, from what I've read and seen, it's got all these other characters, and they know about metahumans and all this other stuff. It's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, that was a thing. I was confused about their timeline, too. And if you have to really, like, work hard to piece the timeline together, like, that's not enjoyable.
No, it's not. It's
because I'm like, wait a second. Why? It takes you out of the movie because you're like, wait a second. Did that happen yet? I mean, Suicide Squad is supposed to firmly be happening after Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene that it's firmly happening after that. But yeah, it just...
But if Flash appears in this, and is he in costume, you said?
Yeah.
So does he have his costume at the time when he...
That's what I was wondering, too.
In Batman versus Superman? Because it shows him out of costume in that. But then when they showed the Justice League trailer, it shows his costume hanging up.
Yeah, I feel like that was one of the weird things, too. Like, when we talked about Comic-Con stuff, the trailers that they showed at Comic-Con were not polished.
Well, except for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, the Wonder Woman.
That's a good trailer.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's like, oh my God.
But, no, the Justice League trailer was not polished, and we were confused by parts of it, too. We were like, wait a second, what? Like, so, and that was, I joked about it before I, when I went to see Suicide Squad, and I was basically like, DC, get your shit together, because there were no advertisements for DC stuff prior to this movie. There was a Marvel one, but, like, I would have thought, you know, because movies now, they generally start the press, especially for these ones that they want to be mega blockbusters, they start a year out, but so going, there should be stuff for Justice League now.
Going back to the timeline and confusion thing, like, one of the things that confused a lot of people and they thought was weird, which was, I always, you know, chalked up to just being a marketing thing, is when Lex Luthor files, it has the symbol for, like, Wonder Woman, the symbol for The Flash, the symbol for Cyborg, and stuff like the Aquaman. Like, but the files you actually see doesn't have anybody in costume, so it made me think these people haven't became the costume characters yet. But if they're showing The Flash in the costume, maybe that explains why he had that file with the Flash symbol. Maybe he's already in costume. But why didn't you put him in costume when you showed him in Batman?
The mid-credit scene made me confused, too, like, much in the same way.
So why didn't you put him in the Batman vs. Superman character, the scene with the Flash, why didn't you put him in costume when he's in that convenience store and he helps somebody? I mean, you have him in costume later when it has the future scene, but you think, well, does he get his costume in the future? Remember when he appears to Batman and stuff like that in that Vision? So all that stuff maybe is saying that they're already in costume. Like, Wonder Woman shows up, she's already in costume, so maybe that's how he got her stable.
It's just, it's muddled.
But, like, Cyborg, like, he shows up, does he become Cyborg in the Justice League movie? Because, like...
Or is he already existing?
Yeah, because, like, it shows him before he exists. Is that movie just going to be... Is it going to be Wolverine Origins? Is it going to just have, like, one origin, another origin, another origin, another origin? Is that basically going to be what that movie is going to be? Or is everybody already established?
That's the problem with their entire cinematic universe. Or, I'm sorry, there's an extended universe, right?
I have no idea.
I don't know, whatever. I thought it was, like, DCEU or something. But, and then that was a problem with the Suicide Squad, was that they tried to pull together these people, and you're not super invested in them. Literally, one of them is cannon fodder. Like, literally.
That's the thing I've always said about the Avengers movie. That's not a great movie, but you're invested in those characters enough where you like it.
Yeah, and you're super amped to see them together. And then, really, only two of the actors carried the movie. And even, like Rick Flagg was generic as hell. Like, generic.
No wonder Tom Hardy dropped.
The villain was generic as hell. Like,
and I like
could have been anything. Viola Davis was amazing, though, as Amanda Waller.
When is it she amazing, though?
She was amazing. And the amount of side eye that she gives Jared Leto at press events, like, I'm just waiting for her to punch him in the face, like, quite honestly, because, like, his overblown off-screen antics, like, he's annoying. That shit was annoying. And then he wasn't even, like, all that great in the movie. And then, plus, this weekend, he's bitching about, like, oh, well, people, like, only really think Heath Ledger's that great of a Joker because he died right before it. So he's lamenting the fact that, like, he didn't die right before his movie came out
or something. All I said about Heath Ledger dying is, like, he would have always been known as a great Joker whether he lived or died. That movie wouldn't have made that much money if he hadn't died.
I think it did add a mythic because status
it added like a huge status and promotion to it.
He was going to be known as a great
Joker no matter what. That movie just, like, people have this image of it being great and it's not. Jared Leto, I'm sorry.
He's annoying. I hate Jared Leto. He's so annoying.
He's not going to be, even if he did a good Joker, like, I haven't seen the movie so I can't say
it.
It
was
alright.
He was okay.
But there's been a lot of good Jokers. Like, Jack Nicholson is a great Joker, Cesar Romero is a great Joker, Mark Hamill is a great Joker. There's
quite a lot of Jared Leto's Joker stuff from the trailer is even cut out. They recut it to make it more romantic with Harley. He's just a generic character, quite frankly.
I read online that people who have seen the original cut say the original cut doesn't have them trying to be, like, funny at all. And it's a much darker film, and it actually works better.
And DC always seems to be trying to go for dark and gritty, but they never quite get there.
Plus, they want to do dark humor.
Yeah. Suicide Squad could have went there, but they didn't. They just, it was always this promise of, like, they're going to go there, but they always kept pulling back. They were so careful to toe the line of a PG-13 rating.
Yeah.
And that was its downfall. I'm also not really a huge fan of, like, DC's vision of dark and gritty because they're so serious all the time. I love people. They had that with the Nolan movies, too. The Nolan movies were annoying.
I was scared to say that. People were always like, well, the Nolan movies worked, and they were dark. And I was like, yeah, but they weren't Batman movies.
They were
pretty good action movies but and suspense movies, but they weren't freaking Batman movies.
Yeah, they're not superhero movies. Like, there should be a slight unreality to it, you know, like the bright costumes and everything.
The third one was the closest to being a superhero movie, especially that opening with Bane, which was really good.
That opening was fantastic. And then Bane just, like, went downhill. Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of, like, you need dark humor when you do dark stories, like, bringing it back to me talking about Secret Six, which is one of my favorite comic series ever, Gil Simone puts a lot of humor in there. If you look at, like, some of the characters in there, it's, like, a very dark book. I mean, you have Bane in there, you have Catman in there, you have Deadshot in there. There's a lot of darkness in
that book. I am all for dark and gritty if it's, like, actually, like, more violent. Because, like, Daredevil. All right, Daredevil is a dark and gritty show. And those fight sequences are amazing. They are, like, the hallway fight sequence, amazing.
But it balances out with humor. Like,
but there's tons of humor in it.
With Froggy and stuff like that.
Suicide Squad could have tons of dark humor. Like, Deadpool has a lot of dark humor in it. It just, the DC stuff, I feel like it's pretentious in a way. And they're like, oh, we're going to make a serious film here and it's going to be dark and gritty. But then it never delivers on any of it. And it just looks dark, like everything's in shadow and darkly filmed and everything. And it just looks blah to me. And I was promised, like, ballroom blitz and shit with this movie, and it didn't deliver.
And even, like, the Arrowverse, as they say. The
TV I hate
verse.
Arrow, too.
the Arrowverse is kind of darker, too, but they also add a lot of humor to it.
I do like the Flash, actually. I like the Flash.
And I wish they would let Stephen Amell do more humor on Arrow, because he can do humor stuff. Like, when he's been on Flash, it's like a revelation. Like, the writers just write him so much better on that show. Like, the character opens up more and stuff.
Yeah.
And I know he said that he wants to progress the Arrow, that character forward and be more like he is in the books, which is more bold and stuff like that, which is a great plan. But they've lost so many viewers that don't really, like, care for that show.
I just never got into Arrow because it was just, like, so serious. I want some escape.
The Suicide Squad's pretty generic on that show, too. Like, the only one that has, I think, a costume is Katana in it. That's it. But basically, yeah. So, if you was going to give us, like, a 5-star rating, what would you give Suicide Squad?
Like, a 2.5, maybe.
2.5.
Because I enjoyed watching the movie. I did enjoy it.
But would you watch it again? Would you, like, pop it in and watch it again?
I would probably watch it again. But it would not be something I watch over and over again. Like, I watched Deadpool over and over again. I love that movie. I watched Guardians of the Galaxy over and over again. We've watched Daredevil a few times. You know, like, it's just not something I would watch over and over again. And I've found that the DC movies are like that for me. I saw Man of Steel in the theater, haven't watched it again. I saw Batman vs. Superman, haven't watched it again.
I haven't watched Man of Steel again, but I want to buy Batman vs. Superman because I did like it. For the most part, even though it has a lot of issues and
stuff. I loved Batman in it.
Batman and Wonder Woman are the best parts of it.
Batman versus Superman, who won? Wonder Woman won, that's who.
And Superman could have been good in that character, but they just totally wrote his character.
And Lois
awful.
Was useless. Like, she was utterly useless.
Yeah, but we had that discussion before. I guess they basically just were like, we got to use her somehow. And
we're paying her to be here, you know?
Yeah. At least she wasn't a photo like a... What's her name in Avengers, like, where she's just a photo?
Yeah.
But that was because Natalie Portman was being a whiny
I find fascinating is that Rachel McAdams is in Doctor Strange, because wasn't she offered Jane Foster?
Yeah, I think she was actually offered a number of Marvel
movies.
Or was
she offered Agent Carter?
I think she was offered maybe both. She was offered both of those roles, and, like, she didn't want to do huge...
She hasn't been in big movies in a while.
Is she the one that did the movie with Tom Cruise about the time traveling?
Tom Cruise.
The Tomorrow's End or something. Like, remember they're in like
No,
a
that's
future.
Emily Blunt. That's
Emily
Blunt.
Emily Blunt was offered, I
Which
think,
I love Emily role. Blunt. She's fantastic.
I think she was offered a number of Marvel movies and actually turned them down.
She's great. She's a great actress.
So Suicide Squad.
It's fun.
Do you think it should make you want to read any of the books?
I've read some of the newer ones, and I didn't really care for them.
I just think it might drive some people to read maybe Harlequin stuff more. But I've not liked that Harley.
I like Harley as a character. I find her compelling, and I find her complicated. By no means is, like, her story perfect, but I feel like in more contemporary usage, like, they've really tried to give her more agency as a character, and I like that. And I thought, given what Margot Robbie was given for this movie, she did a great job with it. She stands out.
Before we end this...
And she made it a little more complicated.
Yeah. Before we end this, does her original costume appear?
Yes, it does. There's actually some of the flashbacks. There is a very... you see her holding it up and stuff, but there's also a flashback that is very reminiscent of the Alex Ross
cover
artwork. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody has t-shirts of and stuff.
Yeah. I have one of those t-shirts too.
But yeah. Like, I don't think her costume, like, I would have liked for him to go with the roller derby version.
I like that one too. I absolutely did not mind the booty shorts because I feel like Harley would feel like a sexy person. She would wear stuff like that. It was modeled after Debbie Harry from Blondie. Which if you see the picture of her that they use as a model, like Debbie Harry looks sexy as fuck, you know?
I think it's all about how,
like, it's how it was handled.
Yeah. It's like,
and there's unnecessary shots in that movie of like, she's fighting and she's kicking lots of ass, just her and her baseball bat kicking some ass and just holding the shot super long coming from like the side of her so that you see nothing but her ass.
Which they would never do that shot with a guy, except for Deadpool. But then
they purposefully did it. In
Deadpool. Yeah, but then he got a bullet up the ass. Is the reason why?
No, he
gets shot straight up the ass.
Yeah, I'm not debating that part with you. But when he's like squeezing his ass into spandex, like he just made the guy a shish kebab. Like that's the part. Both happens, okay. But yeah, it just they didn't give the actors a ton to work with. But Margot Robbie and Will Smith and Viola Davis did a great job. Jared Leto wasn't as annoying as I thought he would be. I just don't really care for him. But his Joker is not standout by any means.
How Jared Leto become a name, I don't know.
Then I guess there's a video with him and Skrillex, but like who is also annoying, so I'm like, whatever.
Because, like, he got famous on, like, So-Called Life, which is, like, one of the worst popular shows I've ever seen.
Oh,
everybody's annoying on that
show.
I
feel like the real tragedy of the movie is that Cara Devlin, I'm probably not saying her name right, but she's a model turned actress now.
Yeah, she's the one I said I liked a lot.
She's really cool. Like, I've seen her...
Paper Town?
I've seen her in other stuff. Like, she did that. And then, like, on her Instagram account, like, she's a really good mimic.
She is.
She does great
facial gestures. She's also really funny. I thought when...
Fuck in the movie.
I don't know if she was cast first or cast before I found out who was cast as who. I thought originally they cast her as Harley Quinn. And I was actually excited about that because I was like,
she would have done it well,
she's
too,
so
I think.
Funny and stuff like that.
I think she could have done it well, too.
Yeah.
But Margot Robbie has more of that bombshell look, and I think that's why they wanted her.
Did you know Harley
Quinn? Margot Robbie is, like, more than just a pretty face. Like, she's pretty talented. And so is Cara Devlin.
Do you know Harley Quinn actually appeared on Arrow?
You told me that, but I don't watch Arrow, so.
But it's, like, it's this weird thing. The lady that does the voice of Harley Quinn on the TV show, they have, like... They're on this boat, and it's, like, the flashback where they gave them the drugs that were making people, like, kind of metahumans and stuff like that, super strong and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The one that makes Red Arrow crazy for a while. Like, there's a cell that Deathstroke's keeping people in, and he's got Stephen the Male's character in 1-0. And there's a girl cackling, laughing in there, and she's got this crazy Hermione-like hair and stuff. And it's hinted, I don't think it's ever said, that that's basically Harley Quinn. But at that time, they were told they couldn't use Harley Quinn on the TV show.
See, because they're keeping all their stuff separate, and then it just ties everybody's hands, and it's annoying.
I just think, like, I mentioned this podcast before, I think people are going to pick and choose who they like. Like, they're going to be like, I don't like this Flash, I like this Flash.
I feel like they also seem to have more confidence in their TV universe than they do in their movie one.
I think they could settle all this by doing one simple thing.
Saying it's a multiverse.
And just have one thing where the Flash or Shamai or even like Heroes of Tomorrow with Roy from Doctor Who.
I'm sad that Captain Cold's not going to be on there
anymore.
Yeah.
Have that character maybe see a multiverse stuff on the screen. And if they show, like, the TV version, kind of like when they did the Turtles Forever cartoon, and it basically showed this turtle multiverse, and it said all this stuff exists. If they would do that with the DC stuff, and say, basically, like, have the movie stuff, and even have, like, Smallville down here on the screen, and have all this stuff like it.
Okay, can we just,
people would love that.
Tom Wellings was amazing. Like, I really liked him, and honestly, Michael Rosen... is that his name? He was a fantastic Lex Luthor.
But Tom looks weird in a Superman costume.
He does.
Because he's so wide-shouldered.
I loved Lex and Lionel on that show. I loved their dynamic. They were great. I loved it.
Smallville's a good show. But I think that they could solve that by doing something like that. They could basically have, like, that. And then fans would be like, I don't have to like this one or this one. I can like it all. And then maybe they can have a guest day. Imagine if one of the movie characters falls through a portal or something and ends up on the TV show.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Or something like that. That would be cool, or vice versa.
Yeah, the only thing I have to say is DC, get your shit together, really. I'm just like, yeah.
If this one doesn't do that good after this weekend, I just wonder if DC's going to do anything besides...
They're just going to shelve stuff.
I think they'll do the big characters, but I don't think they're going to take any chances.
Like, the ones that they've already, like, put into production.
Yeah, they'll do Wonder Woman and Aquaman and Flash and, like, Justice League. But I think if this movie doesn't make as much as they want it to, I don't think they'll take chances like Marvel did with, like, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think just overall, basically, DC is not taking chances, period. And that I'll just end my comments on Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad is fun. It's enjoyable. It's not a great film or anything. I enjoyed it. There are certain movies that I like that I know are bad movies. I love that movie Victor Frankenstein that came out last year with Daniel Radcliffe and James McAvoy. It's a terrible film, but I enjoyed it immensely.
You liked it because of them.
They had such a good chemistry. It was amazing. I loved it. It's not a great movie, but it's fun. Suicide Squad is very much the same way. It's pretty fun. It's pretty enjoyable. It's got good action and stuff, but it's... the epitome of DC's problem that they don't want to take chances on stuff, because they took what was a promised premise of, like, out there craziness, pushing boundaries, and they kept it toned down and bland and PG-13.
Well, people have always said, like, with Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff, they thought Marvel, they're like, if they have a bomb, will Marvel not, will it, like, collapse all their movies and stuff? And I think I remember the head of Marvel Studios talking about maybe in the beginning for, like, Disney Vault Film and stuff like that, because they were basically an independent studio. Mm-hmm. They were, maybe it would have hurt them really bad, but now they don't think they're going to have a bomb because they think they got a lot of momentum going, plus they got good people working on stuff. But if they had a movie that didn't make a huge amount of money, which, like I explained earlier, like Thor's and those,
many
didn't
of them
make a
didn't.
Huge amount
they
of money.
Really didn't.
It's not going to totally destroy them. They just wouldn't make a sequel of that movie.
Yeah.
It's like with Ant-Man, because there were so many issues. From what I read, they actually were prepared for that movie not to make money, and it actually did all right.
And that's another point, is that, you know, people, like, scream and throw fits that Disney owns all this stuff now, and they're like, oh, you know, they're strong-arming DC and all this stuff. DC is owned by Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers is big as fuck, guys. Like,
they own a ton of shit, too.
Disney's not strong arming.
You know what
them,
it reminds
okay?
me of pro wrestling? When Vince McMahon used to complain about Ted Turner, like, bullying everybody and stuff. When it was like, wait, you've bullied people in the industry for years.
Which,
now he's basically bullying smaller companies in a lot of ways and stuff.
Sadness,
too.
Like, honestly, like, I enjoyed WWE, but... I miss the Monday Night Wars. That was, like, the golden age of, like, WWE. And also, like, my parting comment, I guess, for the night will be, I watched TNA Impact the other day. I don't really watch that one, and I don't watch WWE as much. God damn, when did Matt Hardy get so fucking old? And why is he also a vampire now? I feel old. What the hell, guys?
And with that, we'll end this podcast. I'll see everybody later. Say bye, Mar.
Fare thee well.
Fare thee well? What the? Oh, my God.
Let's watch Deadpool.
No. Well, maybe.